Tuesday, 20 October 15, broadcast of the Calvary Hour. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Thanks for tuning in to the Calvary Hour. This broadcast is a ministry of the Calvary Baptist Church in New Bern, North Carolina. I'm Bill Wingard, your host speaker. We're in 2 Peter chapter 1. As we are studying a series of messages entitled, A Godly Life, It All Adds Up. Father, do bless us now with thy word. Speak to my heart, hearts of all of our listeners, we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You'll notice that the second addition here, first of all, you add to your faith virtue, and then the virtue knowledge, and then in the last part of verse 8, the Bible says, or verse 8, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Psalm 9, in verse 10, we read, that they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, shall put their trust in thee. And then over in Proverbs chapter 18, in verse 10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and he that runneth into it is safe. And we're looking at the name by which our Lord Jesus Christ identified himself in the New Testament as the I Am, the same as our Lord identified himself to Moses back in Exodus chapter 3. And that has brought us in to John chapter 8, where our Lord makes it clear that he is Jehovah God, he is the I Am. And I would call your attention once again to this great truth that the translators of our King James Version of the Scripture, and thank God for the King James Version of the Bible, they were honest in their translation, and when they added a word to the text, they would put it in italics to let us know that it was not in the original text. And in these places here in John chapter 8, where our Lord proclaims himself to be the I Am, oftentimes you'll see the italicized he after the I Am. But if you read it as it was in the original, except ye believe that I am, he said in verse 24 of John 8, ye shall die in your sins. And so we followed this course through now until we've come up to verse 44. I'm going to go back, God willing, and just pick up just a little bit of review. Verse 41, Jesus is speaking to these unconverted Jewish people, and he said, ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Now they were slinging that as an insult at him. They knew that Joseph wasn't his father, and they were accusing Jesus of being illegitimate. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, ye would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Now he's going to tell them something that is going to really infuriate them. But I want you to know this. What he's about to say did not just infuriate these unconverted Jewish people at that time, but they would infuriate Baptist people, Methodist people, Catholic people, Episcopal people, Muslim people, whoever it might be. If they're not saved, this would certainly infuriate any of them. For here's what he said. He said to them, ye are of your father the devil. Remember, this was a group who was proclaiming that they were Abraham's seed, that they were born into the family and through the family of Abraham. So now he's going to say this to them, ye of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Now, dear friend, if you really want to upset some religious people, I'm speaking about unconverted religious people, you just quote this verse of Scripture. You say, preacher, that'd be a cruel thing to do. Well, you might think it is cruel, but Jesus didn't think it was cruel. He knew that only through the truth can men be made free. And let me say this to you, dear friend, no matter who you are or what religious label you wear, If you are not born again, if you are not saved, then, dear friend, you are not a child of God. Could I say that again? If you have not been born again, you are not a child of God. I didn't say you had to be a Methodist, a Presbyterian, a Catholic, or what have you, to be a child of God. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And there are some people who just revel in their religion. You try to talk to them about their soul, about their need of Christ as their Savior, and they'll let you know that they're a member of so-and-so's church or such-and-such a church. And then some of them will wax real bold and say, well, I'm a preacher, I'm a deacon, or whatever it might be. But dear friend, it is only through the new birth that anybody can enter heaven. Jesus said to Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And the Lord Jesus goes on and says to these religious people, and could I just add this, that some of the hardest people in the world to talk to about their need of Christ is religious people. You take someone who is just out and out in the world, many times they're so much easier to discuss. It's so much easier to discuss their need of salvation with them than it is someone who is wearing a religious pedigree. You remember when the Lord Jesus met the woman at the well, and he began to get close to her as far as her need of salvation was concerned. Well, she immediately said, your fathers say that we ought to worship over in Jerusalem, but our fathers say we should worship here in Samaria. In other words, our mountain is just as good as yours. And the Lord Jesus made it clear that it wasn't Samaria or Jerusalem that they needed. They needed him as their Lord and Savior. Verse 45, and because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's word. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. May I just add this, that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, because they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And it's impossible for an unsaved person to really discern the word of God. Oh, intellectually, yes. I mean, an unsaved person, it would be possible to actually memorize the Bible. They could do that, but still not understand the word of God. It's not a matter of intellect. It's a matter of spiritual capacity that we receive when we trust Christ as our Savior. Verse 48, then answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? First of all, they're accusing him of being an illegitimate child. And now they're going to really put it on him. They say, do we not say it well that you're a Samaritan? That's about as low as you could get in the eyes of these Jews. And hast a devil? Boy, they really added to it. Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and ye do dishonor me. And I seek not mine own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my sayings, he shall never see death. Boy, this is going to stir him up again. Let me read it again. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. This is basically the same thing he would say to Martha not long after this. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? They did not believe, and naturally they could not understand. For once again, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, the natural man being the unsaved man. Neither can he know them, because they are, the Bible says, spiritually discerned. Now listen to this stirred up crowd, verse 52. Then said the Jews unto him, now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets. And thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death? They said, we know Abraham dead, and you're saying that if a man believes in you, he'll never taste of death. We finish the broadcast today with a question they ask that we'll get to on the next broadcast, God willing. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Whom makest thou thyself? Well, I'll tell you this, dear friend. Yes, he's greater than Abraham, and he's greater than the prophets, and he didn't have to make himself. He is God Almighty. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for thy precious word. Bless it to our hearts. And Lord, I pray for any that are listening today that are unsaved, please convince them of their need of Christ. Convict them And may they see that they can be saved, for you said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. May our Lord bless you and make you a blessing. Please join us next broadcast if you can.